The long snap is there. Ball put down. The right-footed kick is away and good! Green Bay has their first lead of the game. Crosby runs to the side. It will do the Lambeau leap. Zeros on the clock. Fireworks shoot. The Packers have won. 23-22 in a thriller in Lambeau.
The Packers with that Lambeau magic. Aaron Rodgers bringing his team back from a 22-13 deficit. There were some questionable calls in the game. A couple of penalties on the Lions that really, if you go back and replay, they don't really appear to be penalties. Hands of the face calls that weren't really into the face of the lineman for the Packers that kept a couple of drives alive. There was also a pass interference that was missed by the officials, although that's going to happen. Yeah, pass interference is kind of a judgment call anymore, and I don't know why we bother replaying pass interference when clearly on a replay you can tell somebody interfered and the officials won't overturn it. I don't get the point of replaying it if you're not going to get it right. And there's lots of calls that are missed in the game, and the Lions can blame the officials, no question, about a call here or there. The Chiefs can be upset about a weird call that was changed that cost them interception as they were driving in for what would have given them a 2-score lead against the Texans on Sunday. But at the end of the day, the Chiefs couldn't stop the run, didn't do anything offensively in the second half. You know, Lions last night settled for a whole bunch of field goals instead of getting touchdowns. And if they get touchdowns instead of field goals, their officiating doesn't matter. And that's what Matt Patricia, head coach of the Lions, said after the game. So the Packers are 5-1. The Lions are now 2-2-1 as the Packers win in exciting style last night by a final of 23-22 as Mason Crosby hitting the game winner. Local sports information, we turn it over to Dusty.
Yeah, we had cross country from the area makeup yesterday with the Lincoln cross country meet where the Bennington girls took first place. Osborne boys won the team championship there. Individually, J.C. Bath of Lincoln was the champion in 1956-63. Reagan Stewart finished in third for the Leopards, and Tipton's Jalen Weesey was fourth to round out top five area finishers. On the boys' side, Osborne went 1-2-3. Reagan Bales was first, 1809-13. Cameron Delaney second, and Graham Bales finished in third place. Full results can be found for the Lincoln Invitational at ncksports.com. Also, volleyball coming up here today for a lot of area teams where Beloit will be at the El Saline Triangular here this afternoon and this evening. El Saline, Sacred Heart, Beloit are the teams competing there. Thunder Ridge is hosting St. John's, Tipton, and Tescott in a triangular in the Northern Plains League. Southern Cloud Quad has Southern Cloud, Lakeside, Sylvan Lucas, and Natoma. Osborne Triangular, they're hosting Rock Hills and Chase. Lincoln hosting Pike Valley and Wilson in a triangular, and Smith Center's on the road at the Great Bend Triangular with Great Bend and Phillips were competing against the Lady Red in that one. So that's a look at what's going on in today's local sports as far as high school volleyball. You can always ncksports.com for the latest in local sports here in North Central Kansas.
It's interesting. I was talking with someone yesterday about wagering, gambling, you know, going to Vegas, placing a bet. This Packer-Lion game last night is pretty interesting. If you didn't watch what happened towards the end, the Lions basically are going to let the Packers score a touchdown because that was their only way they were going to win. And the running back for the Packers was alert and knew the situation and made a split-second decision to fall down short of the end zone, and the Packers kicked the field goal and won the game.
Yes.
Which, you know, if he misses the field goal, then you're like, why didn't you go ahead and run in the touchdown?
Yeah.
So, but it ended up working out. Well, that decision by that running back, this is why you don't bet, ladies and gentlemen. There's a guy that bet a five-leg parlay, and he needed the Packers to cover the four-point spread to win $48,600 last night. So if that running back had run it in, the Packers would have been up by four. Probably, I don't know if they'd gone for two or not. Really, maybe they would have. Anyway, they would have covered the spread without an extra point. Instead, the running back fell down on purpose. They kicked the field goal, didn't cover the spread, and this guy missed out on winning $48,600. I'm watching the LSU-Florida game the other night. LSU and Florida, it's 42-28. Florida's trying to score with about a minute to go and then, you know, get an onside kick and need a miracle to tie the game in Baton Rouge. And I'm watching this game, and I told my son, I said, there's a lot of people still interested in this game. And he looks at me like, what's over? Like, not for people to bet on the game. I said, do you know what the spread was? It was a 14-point game. My son says 14. I said 13.5. I said, Florida scores here. A lot of people are going to lose money.
Yeah.
I said, if they don't score, people that had LSU covering the spread are going to make some money. Florida was denied. people rejoiced, although people that had LSU not covering the spread were upset.
Yes.
That's the way it works in wagering land, as I call it. And that's why I don't wager on types of things like that, especially games I don't know anything about. But definitely, it's amazing how good the odds makers are. It's amazing how they can figure this stuff out. It really is. It's scary. I mean, they're way off sometimes, but wow. We'll get to the Chiefs in a moment. I want to go to the baseball playoffs because it's been pretty exciting. And the Nationals are on a roll. And, you know, we've seen the Royals get on a roll, obviously, in 2014. The Nationals are on a roll. Their starting pitching is out of this world good. They have gone 21 innings in this series. They're starting pitching without giving up a run. So safe to say you're going to win games when your starting pitching doesn't give up any runs. And last night they got some offense as well from Howie Kendrick, who had a three-double night.
The 2-1. Swing and a line drive right center field. That's a base hit. Swinging a high fly ball left field. Playable for Soto, moving into his right. He is there. He makes the catch. And a curly W's in the books. The Nationals beat the Cardinals 8-1. They go up 3-0 in the National League Championship Series.
Steven Strasburg strikes out 12 in 7 innings. His career ERA in the postseason is 1.10. He's starting to turn into Mr. October. The Nationals win. Their bullpen has been fantastic. Cardinals can't score. And the Nationals are one win away from their first ever World Series appearance. How good are things going for the Washington Nationals? Well, how about this? Their pitching coach. Let me see here. Okay, so it's not the pitching coach for the Nationals. Okay, so it's the pitching coach for the Cardinals, apparently. Mike Maddox hit not one, but two hole-in-ones at the Army-Navy Country Club yesterday morning. The odds of doing that are 1 in 67 million. He hit two hole-in-ones in his round of golf. Apparently used up all the luck for the Cardinals. Yeah. Yeah. So no runs, basically. One run last night for the Cardinals. They lose 8-1 was the final. And so the Nationals are one win away from a sweep. And then they would face either the Astros or the Yankees in the World Series in a big game 3 today at 3:08 on FS1. Yankees and Astros series tied 1-1. Garrett Cole in the hill, a 20-game winner, versus Luis Severino, who's the best pitcher for the Yankees, although he's been hurt most of the year. But they may not get that game. They may not get that game in. We shall see. They're saying that weather could impact games 3 and 4 there in New York. So we'll see what happens. And then tonight, the Nationals and the Cardinals. And it is Patrick Corbin who's been really good. Another good starter for the Nationals against young Dakota Hudson for the Cardinals. So pressure on the Cardinals to stay alive, and they turn to a young guy. And the Nationals have a seasoned veteran that's going to be on the hill for them tonight. They got all the momentum in the world, but your momentum only carries over with your next day's starter. And so far, it's been working pretty good.
Yes.
For the Nationals, safe to say. All right, so yesterday we were talking about a couple things with the Chiefs. And one of the things we discussed yesterday and we brought up was there are some people, and it's always easy to be the quarterback on the couch after something happens and say, well, that's what Andy Reid should have done, or that's what the Chiefs should have done, or that's what my team should have done. Now, if you're saying this out loud or you're putting stuff on social media before it happens and then you end up being right, okay, at least you had the conviction to say it out loud and, you know, be like, I don't think Andy should be trying to do anything with 32 seconds to go before halftime here. I just don't like this offensive line, and Mahomes is a little gimpy. I don't think it's a good idea. Now, if you were saying that and saying that before Mahomes was sacked and the ball was ripped away and the Texans got an easy touchdown before halftime, then I'm not speaking to you because at least you were already thinking that. I've said many times that, you know, I think it's, you know, if I'm watching a game and I'm going, I think the Chiefs should have called a timeout there, and I'm ready for them. As soon as the play happens, I say, timeout, timeout, and they don't call a timeout. I'm like, this is not hindsight 2020. They should have called a timeout. I was screaming, this and that. Now, if after the fact I go back and watch the game 3 times And I'm like, you know, I think they should have called a timeout. Andy Reid's an idiot because he didn't call a timeout. Well, okay, I didn't catch it right away. So I'm expecting Andy Reid to figure it out right away, even though he's paid to do it. No, if you're on top of it as a fan and you're saying these things out loud, there's a little bit more credibility to your statement. But there are people that just react and throw stuff on social media, and it is a little bit scary how loose-lipped people are, or loose fingers they when they type things on Twitter and Facebook, social media, all that stuff. But here's something that is really interesting. So there were people Sunday after the Chiefs fumbled the ball. Now let me stress, after the Chiefs fumbled the ball inside their own five after Thornhill had interception, they had the touchback at the 20. The Chiefs had their timeouts remaining, 32 seconds. The Chiefs were up 17-16. The Texans, this is a very important point, the Texans were going to get the ball to start the second half.
Yes.
Now, if the Chiefs were going to get it to start the second half, I don't know if the Chiefs would have done what they did, but you got a possession, and you've got the best quarterback in the league. You've got the best offense in the league. Yes, I know it's sputtering the last couple of weeks, but it is the best offense and the best quarterback, and you're at home on top of that all. And so for all these people that were, you know, the Barca Lounger quarterbacks after the fact saying, well, see, I mean, come on. Offensive line has been doing a very good job, and Mahomes is not mobile, and I could have told you we should have never tried to do anything. What did you, and I know it's a different situation, but did you watch the AFC title game between the Chiefs and the Patriots last year? Do you know that the Chiefs, after the Patriots took the lead late in the fourth quarter, AFC title game, Arrowhead, do you know how much time was on the clock when the Chiefs took the ball needing a field goal to tie?
Oh, I don't remember.
It's the exact same amount of time the Chiefs had on the clock when they tried to do something against the Texans on Sunday at their own 20.
Yeah.
You know where the Chiefs were with the football at the AFC title game last year after the Patriots scored?
I'm going to say at their own 20.
I believe it was the 20.
Yeah.
Do you know what time? 32 seconds. There were 32 seconds remaining before halftime for the Texan game at Arrowhead. There were 32 seconds remaining in AFC title game. Difference, the Chiefs are up one against the Texans. Weren't going to get the ball to start the second half. The Patriots, obviously, you got to do something because you're down three. But here's the point. In the span of 21 seconds, the Chiefs went almost 50 yards and got in field goal range with one timeout in their pocket when they started the drive.
Yeah.
They had two timeouts when they started their drive before halftime against the Texans. Now, you can argue the offensive line was better at that point in time last year than this line. You can argue Mahomes was healthier, didn't have a gimpy ankle. I get it. But the point being that when you have the best quarterback and the best offense in football, you don't just give up on opportunities to score. Yeah, okay, 7 seconds left, you take a knee. Get it. 32 seconds. With Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and Wynn Watkins is healthy, and Damian Williams, LeSean McCoy, 32 seconds, Mahomes, your quarterback, and you have two timeouts, you could easily get in field goal range or at least get a long field goal for Harrison Butker.
Yeah.
So why do you just give up on that possession? So you're basically giving up a chance to go score points and let the Texans have the ball start the second half. Now, it's easy to say it was the wrong decision because they fumbled the ball and the Texans got a touchdown. But the Chiefs throw an 80-yard pass and score a touchdown, and is anybody saying, we should have taken a knee?
No.
Of course not. So hindsight's always 20/20. But that's why I've had a problem with Andy Reid late in the first half of two games, giving up the chances to get seven and settling for three. You're giving up the chance to score four more points. In this situation, he did not give up a chance to try to score three more points, or maybe even seven, with 32 seconds to go. Same situation in regards to the place on the field and the time on the clock, the AFC title game and the game against the Texans, and this time it didn't work out. It just didn't work out.
No.
And you can sit and go, well, offensive line, you know, they gave up pressure, Mahomes held the ball too long, nobody got open. Yeah, that's probably all true. But do you just give up 32 seconds? And by the way, the Chiefs needed every second they could have on Sunday because they had the ball for 20 minutes the whole game. So you're going to just take a knee and give up 32 seconds? So it's always easy after the fact to say somebody's wrong. But if you're screaming it before it happens, if you were sitting there going, no, what are the Chiefs doing? Take a knee. Your line is beat up. Take a knee. This is not a good idea. I'm with you. At least you had the conviction to say that, and you were consistent. But if you didn't say anything, and you were actually deep down all right, she's going to do something here. And then something bad happens, and then you just turn and spin on your coach and your organization. Well, you're a fickle fan, first of all. And you hadn't even thought that out before it happened.
Yeah.
And these coaches are they have to think it out before it happens. Is the risk worth the reward? With the Chiefs offense, yes. If that was Alex Smith, I don't think the Chiefs would have done anything before halftime. So let's talk. We discussed this yesterday, but there are different things that the Chiefs have that they have problems. And I want us to rank these, and then I'll give you a guy that unexpectedly is available for the Chiefs that was not available yesterday at this time when we were on the show. So we decided yesterday, Dusty and I, we agreed that the number one priority or the number one concern that really would be nice to address for the Chiefs would be their rushing defense, right?
Yes.
Okay. So now you rank these in, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got 5 things here because there are 5 concerns. 5 concerns. And you rank them. So what's the next biggest issue for the Chiefs to address? After the run defense, because you and I are in agreement, that's number one. Is the second most important issue to address for the Chiefs pass rush, secondary, offensive line, or a lack of a running game? Which one is
I think for me, I think it goes hand in hand about stopping the run, as you need to be able to establish a run too.
Okay.
And because like I said yesterday, the offensive line is going to be a little bit lower on this list because I think there's some guys that are not healthy right now that they can fix that.
Right. So would you put offensive line 5th on this list?
Yeah, I'm going to just okay, based so on.
That's fine.
Yeah. Let's
that's
just fine. Go backwards and, right. and put that last
all right.
for me.
Okay. See, I'm and here's how for the sake of speeding this up.
Yeah.
Run defense number one, we agree on that. You're saying that 2 is a lack of running game. I'll disagree. I think the second biggest issue they would need to address in a perfect world, if they could go out and address all their concerns right now, the number one place I would address is run defense, whether it be a run-stuffing linebacker, athletic linebacker. Second would be pass rush. And third would be secondary. I'm going all the way across the line on the defense because I know this offensive line, if it gets healthy, is going to be better. And I think it will get healthy. I think Wiley will be back, although he's not great. They Wisniewski they signed. They think he's okay. You know, Eric Fisher comes back. I think the offensive line will be okay. Mahomes just being healthy will help cover the warts of the offensive line. The running game, I think Andy Reid eventually is going to start coming around where they're going to try to run the ball a little bit more. Now that people are asking more and more questions, he talked about it at his press conference, I think it was yesterday or after the game, about the time of possession. He says it's something we need to get more in line, which means you got to run the ball more. Or you got to dump it off and run more screen passes. I think Andy's going to address that. I think that's something the Chiefs can fix very easily because they do have guys that can run the ball, and I think their line is okay at the point of attack in regards to running the football. I'm not saying they're great. I'm just saying I think they're decent maybe. So to me, running game, lack of running game is not a big concern because I think it's just a matter of wanting to, and I don't think the Chiefs have tried.
Yeah, so I think that's why I say it's a concern up to the top because they need to do it because they're not doing it.
Right.
Do it, fix it, and then fix it, and then you don't have to worry about that part of it.
Right, but if you have a run defense, you probably don't need a running game against Houston the other day. And if you have a pass rush, you don't have to worry about a lack of running game. The Chiefs still scored 24 points without running game or even trying, and also had the questionable call that changed what was going to be inside the red zone, ended up being overturned somehow, some way. Ended up being an interception. I mean, the Chiefs were that close to being up 24-9 despite all the problems on defense. So the offense, I think, is fine. You know, 24, 27, 31 points, that should be enough. But with this defense, as we know, it isn't. Thus, I address the defense. Rush defense, 1. 2, pass rush. 3, secondary. At the beginning of the year, I think everybody was going to say it's secondary or rush defense. The pass rush has not lived up to expectations at all. It's so much worse than it was last year, and that's why this defense so far is not as good as last year's, because to me, that's the big difference. They don't get a pass rush. Everything else is very similar, other than a different scheme, other defensive coordinator, and obviously different personnel. For me, the number one issue to address is run defense. 2 is pass rush, and then 3 is the secondary, and I think offensive line will take care of itself eventually, and I think the lack of running game will take care of it, because that's something the Chiefs can control. Let's be honest. Andy Reid and the Chiefs can control, I think, running game as long as they try to run the ball. Yeah, there was a game against Raiders. They didn't run the ball at all very effectively, and they tried somewhat. I get that. Every team's going to have a game where they don't run the ball well. But Andy Reid hadn't even tried the last two games. Okay, and he was leading most of this last game. So that's easily corrected. You don't have to change personnel. And that's why I don't put it as high on the list as you do. The offensive line, I guess, talked about. So to me, it's defense. Run defense, pass rush, and then secondary, of course. Let me tell you something. Why do I put pass rush above secondary? If you get a pass rush, your secondary doesn't have to cover as long.
And if you don't, your secondary looks even worse than it already is.
Well, what, you know, all these people, I've been hearing Chiefs fans like, well, all these defensive backs, all they do is hold. Listen, if you had to cover corners for, or excuse me, if you had to cover wide receivers for 5-6 seconds downfield, you would hold too. Because you're either going to get a hold and a 5-yard penalty, or you're going to get beat for a touchdown. I mean, it's simple as that. You've got to get a pass rush to speed up the clock in the quarterback's head. Thus, the secondary doesn't have to cover as much. Thus is why I put pass rush ahead of secondary on number two on my list behind the rush defense. Now, if you don't stop the run, then you're not going to get teams into an obvious third down and passing situation. Thus, the pass rush is irrelevant because they're never in a third and long. So it has to be the run defense number one.
Yeah.
Then the pass rush, because if you stop and run, now you get them third and long. But if you get them a third and long and you can't rush the passer, they convert, then what good did it do to stop the run? Okay, and then if you do get a rush defense that's good and your pass rush is better and then the secondary is still getting beat, well, then obviously the secondary now needs fixed. Even if they can't cover for 4 seconds, 3 seconds, and they're holding all the time. There was something that was thrown out by a Chiefs fan that was texted to me yesterday and said, do you think the Chiefs are undisciplined? Or don't you think a problem for the Chiefs, their biggest problem is they're undisciplined? I totally disagree with that. Here's why. Do you think the Texans are undisciplined? They had 10 penalties.
Yeah.
The Chiefs had 11. They had the same penalty called twice on a screen pass. The same mistake. That's undisciplined. The Chiefs have holding penalties. The Chiefs, to me, undisciplined means the Chiefs are jumping off sides all the time. They're false starts on offense. They're getting personal fouls. I'll tell you, undisciplined is Monday Night Football with Chester McLaughlin. Some people are too young to remember this. Chester McLaughlin, Neil Smith, Derek Thomas, the meltdown in KC on Monday Night Football. I think that was that against the Broncos? It was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. The Chiefs got personal fouls, unsportsmanlike conduct, roughing the passer, cheap shots after the play. That's undisciplined. To me, it's not. The Chiefs aren't holding on purpose, okay? I mean, if they're holding on purpose every play, that's undisciplined. But they're not. They're holding because they have to. And why is that? Because they're getting beat. Their offensive line is getting holding penalties because they're getting beat at the point of attack in the trenches. Why is Rashawn Breeland and Morris Claiborne and Charvarius Ward getting holding penalties down the field or illegal contact? Because they're getting beat off the line of scrimmage. I mean, that's what happened on the play that the Texans converted on 4th-and-3. Breeland got beat on the inside move by Hopkins for a 6-yard pickup, game over. It's not that they're undisciplined. It's that they have to hold or they're going to give up big plays because right now they're being beat one-on-one, whether it's man-to-man or they're not sitting right in their zones. Now you could say undisciplined if they're not being in the right spots with their zone. I get that. But to me, the big problem isn't undisciplined. I'm not seeing the Chiefs like coming up with a whole bunch of taunting calls, personal fouls, cheap shots, plays after the whistle. To me, that's undisciplined. Okay? Or the pre-snap penalties. That's undisciplined. Are you with me?
Sure.
But when you're getting holds, you know, I mean, that's not undisciplined. Everybody gets them. Every team is undisciplined then. The big problem is the Chiefs are just getting whipped in the trenches. They're not getting, go back and watch the tape. The Chiefs aren't getting any push up front defensively on run plays or pass plays. And an offensive line, once they got to always pass protect because Andy doesn't want to run the ball very much, and I've seen people in Kansas City media poo-pooing this idea. Dude, if you run the ball, you take pressure off of Patrick Mahomes. Now, you have to run it effectively, but if you don't try to set up a running game, how are you going to know it works? And I know they've had mixed results. Sometimes they've run well this year, sometimes they haven't. But it all goes hand in hand. But if you, offensive line, get beat at the point of attack, whether it's with the defending the pass rush when Mahomes is back to throw, or whether it's you can't even get off the ball to create a hole for your running backs, you're not undisciplined. You're just not as good. You're just not as good as the other guys. And right now, there's a talent disparity between the Chiefs and the teams they played the last 2 weeks in the trenches.
Oh, without question.
And by the way, you can have the greatest fundamentals in the world, but if you don't have the physical strength, and right now the Chiefs have guys that are overmatched. Cam Irving's overmatched. Ben Neiman's overmatched. Derek Nnadi's overmatched. Kalen Saunders overmatched. And those are important people that you have in place of injured guys that are completely overmatched. And I thought the Chiefs supposedly had this great depth. So far, we're seeing they don't. And it's coming back to the bottom right now.
Yeah.
By the way, go ahead.
No, it's pretty easy to see what you're talking about there.
It starts there.
Discipline is a mindset of not making mistakes that you know are going to hurt your team in a big way. Listen, when you're getting beat, you're getting beat. You know, and that's it in every level.
Are you undisciplined because you get beat off the ball as a left tackle? No, you just aren't. You just didn't get off the ball. They got a quick read on the snap. Your fundamentals might be wrong. Doesn't mean you're undisciplined.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I just don't quite buy that.
A guy from Fort Hays State that got two back-to-back personal foul penalties.
That would be undisciplined.
You know, it's like, what are you doing? You just got one. Yeah. What are you doing this for?
Right. I don't think the biggest issue for the Chiefs is undisciplined.
No, not at all.
I don't think. I think there's many other problems the Chiefs got to worry about. Now, here's the crazy thing. The Chiefs could get a linebacker if they wanted, and they don't have to trade for him. The Eagles released Zach Brown, who's a decent linebacker, after he called out Kirk Cousins and said, man, he's not any good, basically. And that's the whole key, make him throw the ball. And then Cousins lit up the Eagles like a Christmas tree. 4 touchdown passes, 333 yards, and was asked after the game about it, didn't want to talk about it. Wait a minute. You called him out.
Yeah.
Now you don't want to talk about it. Eventually he said, yeah, he did a good job. Apparently the Eagles were like, that's that. So he's gone. He's cut. And there's the Titans need some linebacking help. The Chiefs, obviously, with the injury of Anthony Hitchens. Oakland Raiders need some help. The Giants are bad. I don't know why they're on this list, why they would go get somebody. The Eagles need some help, or need that linebacker, but they just let go of Brown, who turns 30 later this month. There you go. There's a linebacker the Chiefs could go get and have to trade for. Maybe that could help with their running game or the rush defense. Stay tuned.